the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to allow God to have His way. As God is dealing with you now, we pray that you let God just move in a mighty way in your life. Giving all honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for these preachers, officers, and to all of you, this fine congregation that belongs to God. I'm going to ask you to go with me to 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. I'm going to look at this old familiar verse, the 3rd verse and the 7th verse. We've been there before. Amen. I want to pick up on this series, The Wrestling and the Grip. And then we want to use for a topic in this series that we've continued on with, that God has not forgotten about me.
Thank you, Lord.
God has not forgotten about me. Look at verse 3 with me. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. And then we go on to look at verse 7. Can we read it together? And the king said, Jonathan help, which is lame. Verse 7. Fear not. Amen. The series, The Wrestling and the Grip, a topic that God has not forgotten about me. When we look at life as it is today, I'm sure that many of us would agree with me that sometimes you look at yourself and you ponder, am I really at the level that I should be? You look at your life and you said, I'm a little up in age now. And all through my life, here I look at myself and I'm not where I should be. Sometimes you said, if I would have took an altered route, would I have the things that I should have? I think that all of us can agree with me that sometimes you look back and say, why am I not at the place I planned a long time ago? You say that. Now, Lord, I know that I've made some mistakes along the way, but must I pay for this mistake all of my life? These questions just, they ponder in your mind. They come to you. And you look at now, I've been to Bible study. I come to Bible study. I come to prayer service. I go on Thursday service. And sometimes I go and visit some other Bible study just for the word. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying, God, yet I'm still not where I should be. Come on, I know I got some witnesses out here. That question ponders, that question comes in your mind. And when that question is there, you ask yourself, why am I where I am and not where I should be? You say, Lord, what did I do so bad that's hindering me to get where I should be? You ask yourself that. You say, now, Lord, I've read your Bible, and I feel like that I'm meeting your requirements, but I'm still in a bad place. You say, Lord, what more do you want me to do in order to get where I should be? Because there are some things in life that my friends that we grew up together have passed me up, and Father God, they don't even go to church. How can my friends have so much? And I'm praying. I'm fast. I'm anointing myself with all. I'm everything that you told me to be, but I'm not at the place where I should be. Lord, why am I suffering with all these problems? Children sick. Marriage bad. Job bad. Yet I'm still praying, but it seems like there's no change. Lord, what more to do? And then you get to this point here where you begin to say, Lord, did I not obey your word? Or is it because when I was a child and I did this and I stuck off and did this, is it because I got pregnant too early? Is it because that who I married you, that somewhere down the line I knew that I shouldn't have married him, but I did marry the person? God, is that why? You told me that if I ask for forgiveness, you'll remember my sins no more. You told me that. You told me, Father, that. You told me that you would bless me. You promised that to me. You told me that if I would walk down the aisle and give my hand to the preacher and give my heart to God, that my yoke would be easy and my burdens light. God, my question is, why am I not in the place I should be? Then I have to go here in Texas and say, but what if I was 5 years old and I was trapped by my caretaker, and because I was trapped, I find myself crippled in the state that I am now, living in a horrible place? Must I pay for somebody else's mistake? God, help me, somebody. The text tells me here that when I get in the text and I see this, I see here that now that David has a relationship with Jonathan, who is King Saul's son. And their relationship was close, and they was close. They felt that they was like brothers. He had a covenant with them, and the covenant was that Jonathan said that when you become king, will you promise not to cut off my seed? He said that if you would let my seed continue to live, that's the only covenant that I want to have with you. And David honored that covenant. He said that I'll make this covenant with you. So they were real close. But Saul used to love David until David started moving up. God, help me, somebody. Can I tell you something? There's going to be some people that's with you. But when you get ready to move to the next step, God, help me, somebody going to try to pull you back. And I know I have some witnesses. You have to be careful of your surroundings, because you have some folk that will be with you as long as you at the bottom. But when you make a step, they begin to change. Somebody say, look for the change. God, help me, somebody. And folk will begin to change when you begin to move to the next level. And David began to move. And as David began to move to the next level, Saul began to get jealous of him. Understand that Saul was the king of Israel, and David was a shepherd boy. But one thing I need you to understand is that David was anointed by God. God, help me, somebody. If you are anointed by God, you can't help but to move. Help me, somebody. If I find some anointed folk up in here that have an anointed, show enough, you'll know that you cannot stay in a stagnating place. You have to move because it's not you, it's the God in you. Oh, help me somebody. When I look at the text, that as David began to progress, that Saul began to come at him, but his son, the prince, Jonathan, had a love relationship, a brother love relationship with David. Yeah. And so what happened is that as David continued to grow in the Lord, Saul and Jonathan went out to battle. The Bible tells us that when Jonathan and Saul went out to battle, that Saul and Jonathan were killed on the battlefield. When the word came back to David, David had mourned because he had loved Jonathan. The Bible tells us that David was already the king of Judah, and now they had took him and placed him to be king of Israel. And as David became king of Israel, he began to do everything that God told him to do. But that covenant with Jonathan was not on his heart at the time. And so here we find out that when the news came back to David that Jonathan and Saul was dead, the news also came to the nurse who took care of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. Everybody else had been killed because it was already the law. It was a rule that if a king had been killed, all of the family had to be killed, because if the family was not killed, then that one would take up kingship. God help me somebody. And so in actuality, when all of the boys of David was dead, and also Jonathan was dead, the next one in line was Mephibosheth. God help me somebody. Mephibosheth was a child at 5 years old. The nurse feared for her life and Mephibosheth's life. So what she did is she began to run. She had to hide. God help me somebody. In the process of running somehow, some way, Mephibosheth slipped out her hand. He hit the ground, and when he hit the ground, his feet became crippled. He was paralyzed and his foot crippled, and he could not walk. Here we find now that this maid here, this caretaker, took him and went to Lodabar. God help me somebody. You gotta see where I'm coming from now, because Lodabar has been called a place of lowness. Lowness, lowness, lowness. There in Lodabar, there was no bread to eat. There was no communication. Folk barely talked in Lodabar. Lodabar was seen as a place for folk that were really the walking dead. It was a place of loneliness. Lodabar was considered a place that folk went there when they felt like their life was over. God help me. I know I have some Lodabar members in this church this morning. Lodabar was a place that people felt that they were depressed and oppressed. God help me somebody. It was a place that folk went there that was sick and there was no help for them. There was a place in Lodabar where there was no preaching of the gospel. In Lodabar, you was particularly basically on your own in Lodabar. God help me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lodabar was a place here where your mind, oh God, you couldn't think right. You couldn't see right. You couldn't hear right. You couldn't breathe right. Lodabar was a bad place to be. Oh God, anybody ever know what I'm talking about? That you've ever been in that state of mind where you just couldn't think right, you couldn't concentrate. Anytime you tried to do something, that everything was on your mind. Have you ever been to Lodabar? You ever been, you go on a vacation, and when you go on a vacation, you got a nice place. The car is nice, but when you get there, you still can't function because all of the problems that you just left from is still on your mind. Folks say, how was your vacation? I really didn't have a vacation because I couldn't think right. Everything that bothered me was still on my mind. You ever been there, church? You ever just got away for a couple of days and you tried to rest and you really couldn't rest because everything that bothered you came with you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You still got the trouble on your mind. You still got the bills on your mind. You still got the mortgage on your mind. You still worried about the pizza. It's all still there on your mind. He goes to Lodabar. And there in Lodabar, he's in a sad situation. His mind really wasn't that bad. The only problem he had is that his foot was crippled. God, help me somebody. But look at this thing here. This man here is in Lodabar ever since he's 5 years old. And the nurse that took care of him, the caregiver, is telling him that the reason why you're in this condition is because you slip. And you slip because I was trying to save your life. And because I thought that David, being the king, was going to try to kill you. It was either be crippled or live. God, help me, somebody. She stood putting this in his mind. That fear came upon him that what if David comes to Lodabar and find me? So he had to hide in Lodabar. Anybody ever went into hiding? If the phone ring, baby, don't answer it. It's just a bill collector. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If anybody knock on the door, just be quiet. Don't answer the door. I can't think right. I can't comb my hair. I don't want to answer the door because I'm in Lodabar. Oh, I know I got some folks that I know. You may not admit it, you may not say it, but baby, you going through some things. You in a Lodabar situation. Cause you in Lodabar. The blame has been placed on everything. If my mother would have only been there, I wouldn't be in the condition that I'm in. If my father would have stayed with mama, with all of the rest of these kids we have turned out, we would have been better. Excuses. Only if somebody would have helped me in school, helped me with my tuition, I would have been with the school and been something. Only if somebody understood what I was going through, I wouldn't have made all them efforts. Excuse. We're always trying to point the finger at somebody else for our failures. We're always trying to blame somebody else for us not getting to the next level. She was pointing the finger at David because she said if David would have caught us, he would have killed you. She was blaming everything. So in Mephibosheth's mind, he felt like that if David would catch him, he would be dead. So he came contentment in the position that he was in. And what happened, it becomes dangerous when the church comes in contentment. And you content with where you are. Can I tell you, regular, we could never stay where we are. As children of God, we want to go higher and higher and higher and higher. Even if we have to start all over again, we're going to make it to the next step if it kills us. I've come to a conclusion, it don't matter. I'm not going to stay in Lodabar. I'm not going to be content in the current condition that I am, because the God that I serve told me that he's a God that will make a way out of no. I'm not going to accept what you're dishing out when I serve a God. And so what happens here? Whenever you are content in the situation you are, you don't see as farther as you are. And what happens is you have to look at the thing that I'm going to get out my current condition. What I want you to understand here now is that what happened is God came to David. And God said to David, David, you've got a covenant that you've got to keep. If somebody down there in Lodabar, the years are past, but you got to keep your word. God comes in and he does something to David like he does to us. David has become a Christ-like. What happens now is that David gets up and he asks the question, is there anybody in the lineage of Saul that I may bless? God help me, somebody. When Saul had been killed, David never moved in Saul's house. He never went on the property that belonged to Saul. Everything that Saul has, David never took it. Because David knew God had gave it to Saul. Help me, somebody. David said, I don't know why I can't go up in Saul's house. But God won't let me go in there. God won't let me touch the jewelry. God won't let me touch the money, baby. And I found out something, if you don't mind me skipping and step back, that what's for me is for me. It's going to stay there until I get there. God help me. God won't let you mess with it because it belongs to me. Help me, somebody. The reason why David couldn't go and touch nothing that belonged to Saul, even though it was in the hands of David, David had to keep it up until God got ready to bring Mephibosheth out of Lodabar. God help me, somebody. What happened is that he had a covenant with Jonathan. And what happened, what I want you to understand something, is that we have to go back. The covenant was important. When I see what David was doing, I also see what the Lord was doing. God had a covenant with his own self before the foundations of the world. God help me, somebody. And the covenant is that he would bless his own seed. God help me. Before we were created, God had already ordained his own self to bless us. God help me. And we weren't even born. We weren't even thought of by man. But because God peeked in his own future. God help me, somebody. When he peeked in his own future, he also peeked at my future. And he ordained me to be blessed. And I wasn't even born yet. God help me, somebody. He had a covenant with his own self that he was going to bless me. In spite of my situation, he ordained his own self to bless me. So what happens here is now that God says he had a covenant with Adam. He said that if you don't bite from the fruit, you're going to live forever. Adam still bit from the fruit. But God said, don't worry, I had a backup plan. He said, and if I shed the blood, I can cover you back up and restore your relationship and still give you what I promised to give to you. God, help me, somebody. When men became so bad that God was going to destroy man, so what God did is he said, because I got a covenant, I've got to find some good in Noah. Oh, help me, somebody. He said, I'm going to destroy the rest, but I still got to keep my covenant with Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Help me, somebody. Everybody else drowned, but God kept his covenant. And then when Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth came about, God gave his covenant with them. But then when they do right, God said, come here, Abraham. I'm going to make my covenant with you. I'm going to bless your seed, but watch this. Your seed is my seed. In your, wherever you walk, all the grains of the sand, I'm going to bless their seeds for eternal life. God had a covenant with Abraham to bless all of his seeds. He came here, he said, here, come here, Jacob, I'm going to bless your seed. God, help me, somebody. And then we find ourselves now here with David, who have Israel, who was Jacob's children. And the seed that God said he's going to bless is still being blessed. The covenant that God had with him, now he comes and he says, David, you're going to portray the Lord. He said, David, you've got to keep your covenant with Jonathan. And so what happens here is he wakes up and around about somewhere around 15 years have passed now. And he said, I've got to keep my covenant. He says, is it anybody from the house of Saul that I can bless? And they says to him, yes, there is a servant by the name of Ziba. He can tell you everything about the seed of Saul. Ziba comes in the house and he is asked by the question by David. He says here, Ziba, I want to know, is it anyone here that's left from the house of Saul? Watch this. For Jonathan's sake, that I may bless. God help me, somebody. God here uses David to specialize and making sure that he understands for Jonathan's sake. And the reason is because there's a covenant with Jonathan that I would never cut off the seed. And so now there'll have to be a child somewhere that got away. Somebody, I don't know where he is, but I need to find him. And Ziba said, yeah, down in Lodabar. He said, God help me, somebody. A prince, the grandson of a king, is down in Lodabar. A prince is at the lowest point of life who should have been in the next place to sit on the throne. The prince is in a bad situation. He's in Lodabar. He's there. He has a son, Micah, there. But now him and Micah's in the bad situation. He says, he'll go take some men. Go take some horses. Go down there and bring Mephibosheth to me. God, help me, somebody. It reminds me of what God told his son Jesus. Go down there all wrapped up in flesh and blood. God, help me. And I want you to take everybody that's down there in Lodabar and bring them to me. God help me. Can I talk to you for a little while here? And to what David did, David sends him down there, and they go to Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth is there. When he gets the news is that David wants him, the king, he is afraid already. He says, my life is worthless anyway. I've become a nothing anyway. I'm just crippled. And if the king wants me, it's because the king is still trying to kill me. Can I tell you something? You got to be on the lookout for folk that's trying to put things in your head. There's folk that's going to always try to tell you that if you don't hide, God ain't going to bless you. There's folk always trying to put you in an Adam situation after Adam's sin. If you're going to be like Adam after he's sinned, you need to hide. You need to cover yourself up with earthly things. You need to be fearful. You need to be a liar if you're going to get out of your situation. So in his mind, he thought that David was going to kill him. Can I get a witness here? Can I tell you that every time God calls you, it don't mean God's calling you because you've done something wrong. You better stop hiding from God. You're going to have to come out of your hiding and stop acting like you don't have a God. Because I want you to know God has not forgotten about you. Oh God, help me, somebody. It's not that you was in Lodabar because you done something wrong. It's not that you was in Lodabar because you made a mistake. You in Lodabar because of time. Oh, help me, somebody. Time will kick you in Lodabar. And when I look at James, he tells us is that if you have a little patience, have a little hope, everything will be all right. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Can I get a witness here? Some of you need to understand that when you're in Lodabar, I need you to understand that God knows where you are located. He can come to your lowest point. He can come to your lowest valley. No matter what condition you're in, God's about to move you to a better position. You've got the same condition, but God's about to elevate you in another position. God, help me somebody. Even though you've got this situation in your life, God's about to elevate you, because he understands that everybody has some type of condition. But if I pull you out your situation, even though you still got the wound from your condition, I can put you in a better position, that you'll have peace in your mind. Help me somebody. Can I tell you, even if you got sickness, if you got Jesus, you might have the condition, but you're in a better position. Oh, help me somebody. You might have to deal with death in your family. That's some type of condition. But if you get in the Lord, you'll be in a better position. Is it anybody understand here? I've got some conditions. But if I get in the Lord, I'll be in a better position.
Second, watch this, watch this. They come there to Lodabar, and they come and takes him to David. When he gets to David, David looks at him. He does not look like he should look. His body had changed. His faith had changed. Here was a prince that had been looking like a resident of Lodabar. Here was a prince that didn't look like a prince from the outside. But I got news for you. God likes to reach in and pull what's inside of you and snatch it out on the outside. He didn't look like a prince from the outside, but in the inside, he was a prince. Can I get somebody to see this point? I don't look like I'm royalty on the outside. Lord, have you forgot me? You said you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Lord, I don't look like a prince on the outside. But God says, if I get you to the palace and reach on the inside and do a work on the inside, change your mind frame from thinking like Lord of Lords to a child of the Lord. I am still God all by myself, and you are still a prince on the inside. I wonder if I can get you to think in your mind what it'll be like to have folk to carry you. I don't have to walk when I'm in the Lord. The Lord will carry me where I gotta go. The Lord looks at him. Watch this thing. When David gets a hold to him now, David begins to talk to him. He says here, why are you bowing? He said, I'm giving you reverence. I'm going to reverence you because you are a king. Watch this. The first thing you ought to do, church, is learn how to reverence who God is. Help me, somebody. Whenever you come in the presence of the Almighty, God needs you to reverence him. We need some folk in God's house to learn how to reverence God in spite of your situation, in spite of your condition. I need some folk to be serious about the God they serve. I need some real worshipers to worship God in spite of all of their conditions. I know it feels like it's hard sometimes. I know the trials are there, and I know your burden is heavy, but I've got to worship God. Watch this. He said the reason why you have to worship me is because while you was in Lodabar, I was always there. I sustain you. Wow, you was in Lodabar. You almost lost your mind, but I took care of you while you was in certain time to pull something out of you and place you in the place you ought to be. And while all that time, I just needed you to give God some praises. I needed you to hold on for a little while longer. The time wasn't yet. It wasn't right yet. But while you was in load above, you felt like giving up, but you didn't give up. The devil tried to kill you, but I'm still here, like I'm on Color Purple. I'm still here. Can I get a witness here? I'm still here, Lord. And because you're alive, I want you to know I sustain you. Is it anybody here? No, you thought the Lord had forgot you. No, you didn't think you would be where you are today. Although you feel like giving up, can I tell you the Lord has been sustaining you? But after a while, he's about to put you at the place. After a while, he's about to give you the things that a child of God should have. When David saw Mephibosheth, he said, Mephibosheth, everything that belonged to Saul, I'm going to give it to you. Everything that Saul has, from the riches to the servants, is going to be yours. Can I tell somebody, God hasn't forgotten about you. God, know you've been praying. God, know you've been to the doctor. God, know you got bills that need to be paid. God, know you got children that need to be fed. God, know your situation. Can I tell you, he had not forgotten about you. He still on his mind. The reason why I know the Lord has not forgotten me, but early, too early, he woke me up, and early on Sunday morning, he got up out the grave. Did the Lord do it? Is anybody here? The Lord has got you. Can I tell you something? He walked by you all through the nights. He covered you up with the shadows of his wings. Did the Lord protect you? Did the Lord, he kept you? Ain't the Lord all right? Is anybody here know the Lord? Done it for me. Won't the Lord do it? Did the Lord keep you? Tell your neighbor, the Lord has not forgotten you. Ain't it good to know he's right there? He's right there. He's right there.
He's right there. Oh, he's right there, church. He's right there. You still got me. And I feel like sometimes, Lord, you forgot me. He said, I understand that. Jesus felt like that when he was on the cross. He said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, but I was right there all the time. I was right there. He said, it's all right to bury your cross. He said, but don't you ever think I'm not right there. He said, I'm omnipresent. He said, I'm everywhere. He said, I'm all knowing. He says, here, I want you to understand something. He says that when you go down to sleep, I'll be right there. If you get up in the morning, I'll be right there. He said, no depth, no height shall separate you from his love. He said, I just want you to learn how to hold your head up and say, yeah, I'm going through. But I know the Lord will make a way. Give God some praise. Come on, sing that song. I know the Lord will make a way.
Yes, he will.